With so many options, why choose Arizona State University?
For me, the only online option was ASU because of the quality. Their faculty was really involved with their students and care about your personal journey. The dedication to my personal development from my professors, that's been extremely valuable to me.
Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online. That's a degree better. Explore more than 350-plus undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Houston loses a rough game, and unfortunately, much more. Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pololo and Josh Jordan. You can read their work on sportstalk.com or follow them on X at Pololo and at Josh Jordan 975. Gents, the first half was undisciplined and unfortunate for Texans. Penalties, turnovers, and injuries. And then right out of halftime, Houston drives down the field to score a touchdown, only to lose Tank Dell to a gruesome injury. CJ Stroud was very visibly shaken up. Texans kept this game semi-close for most of it, but KC is just on another level. And if we needed a reminder, it was this game. They don't overpower you, but they also don't beat themselves. And Houston spent what seemed like most of the game beating themselves. And it started right out of the gate with a bad pick from CJ Stroud that turned into 7 points. And then he gives up another pick at the end of the half that turned into 3 more points. They were lucky it didn't turn into 7 more. What did you guys see? Let's start on the offensive side. A lot to talk about there. What did you guys see from CJ in the offense today?
Well, you highlighted it or low-lighted it. CJ Stroud did some fine things. The touchdown pass, ill-fated as it was to Tank Dell, was just a gorgeous throw. But CJ Stroud played as large a role in losing this game as any that he has since he's been with the Texans. I mean, those were two very bad interceptions, trying to force a ball into a very tight spot and overthrowing Nico Collins. And then the second ball was just a lousy throw. The Chiefs are better. It really is unbelievable the way they keep winning these one-score games, 16 in a row, 11 one-score wins this season. The Chiefs are a heavyweight. Obviously, they're very much in the fight to become the first ever three-peat Super Bowl champion. To go macro on this, since the Texans got obliterated at Minnesota early in the season, they played 4 other teams that you would say are in the first cast of the 2024 NFL class. They beat the Bills 23-20. Okay, the Bills were without their best wide receiver and their best defender, Ed Oliver. Nevertheless, that's a quality win. Since then, a 2-point loss at Green Bay, a 3-point loss to the Lions, an incredible loss in defeat to the Chiefs. In the end, that's 1-4 against the 5 best teams that they've played, competitive in 4 of the 5, which I think sums up where the Texans are. They're a pretty good team. They're above average, but they're just not with the upper crust.
No, and they can't. Nothing gets fixed. I mean, this offensive line is a mess. When Shaq Mason went out, my Lord, and he went out so early in the game, just constant pressure, and it's the same stuff. They bring up a corner to the line of scrimmage, and then the other side, somebody drops out, and then the Texans can't handle blocking 4 guys with 5. They just can't figure this stuff out. To me, it's not execution anymore. This has got to be poor coaching. All the screens, 4 receiver screens that went for no yardage, and they kept doing it over and over again. You watch Andy Reid and what they do on offense there for the Chiefs, and you see a coordinator that's helping his quarterback, that's creating things. How many times did they just throw the ball to the running back and he'd gash you for 20 or 30 yards? Toe-to-toe, just getting, you know, washed out, and a lot of those plays couldn't get there. Bobby Slowick, what would you say you do here? And we talked about this in the preview. This offense is nothing but CJ scrambling around, trying to make a play to either Tank or to Nico. And now Tank's gone. I mean, gosh, he may not even play next year. So now it's just CJ running around trying to throw the ball to Nico, and then every now and then Dalton Schultz, and then Dalton Schultz will drop the ball on third down when they can move the chains. I'm frustrated. I didn't expect them to win this game, but you just don't see them getting better on offense. And the delay of games, yeah, that was unfortunate on CJ, but you know, I see some coaches call timeouts sometimes when they see a delay of games about to happen. Didn't see that happen today. So Bobby Slowick, I'm not impressed, man. I don't think he's the answer.
Well, on the game management stuff, there are times where you're better off taking the penalty than burning another timeout. To wit, the Texans used one early in the second half after an incomplete pass. It's second down and 10, and you can't run your operation efficiently to get the playoff in time. Now, that was the drive that ended with a Tank Dell touchdown, and that was the last time the Texans sniffed the end zone. And they were set up on that drive starting at midfield. Next possession after the back-to-back stuffs of Pacheco, you get the ball at the Kansas City 49, and you go 1-2-3 punt. Next possession, you do manage to get down for a field goal, and then their last shot, 1-2-3 punt. It's just not a good offense overall. CJ Stroud is, I'm not calling it a sophomore jinx season, but not nearly as good as his freshman season. That's inclusive of his play, along with the chaos in the offensive line. And I suppose let's throw in no Mixon magic on the road today, held to 14 carries, 57 yards. Not pitiful numbers compared to a couple of other games. But this was another second half where the Texans failed to total 100 yards of offense. I think they finished with 98 yards of total offense in the second half. Enough to hang around, but not enough to beat the back-to-back champs.
Once again, the most successful plays were seemingly the ones that Stroud improvised because he was getting flushed out of the pocket. You have so many negative yardage plays on first down, so they're behind the gun all day. Where was the adjustment? Like Josh said, answered, there wasn't one. Slow getting to the line to the snap the ball. And that's not just been a problem today. This has been a problem all season, whether it's a problem of getting the play called into the huddle or getting urgency and getting to the line, but there's been no adjustments on that either. And I've accepted that Bobby Slowick isn't going to go anywhere just because all of the things that we've heard behind the scenes that Bobby Slowick isn't going anywhere. The impression being that Nick Caserio, blames the quality of the line for the troubles that they've had. But like, I think at minimum, there has to be wholesale changes on the line, a new O-line coach at the very least. And it's not just on the line. Diggs was on a 1-year deal. He got hurt, so he's done. Dell, we don't know when he's going to return. So you're likely going to be in the market for a couple of wide receivers in the offseason, or maybe you draft. But I feel like Nick Caserio's offseason is going to be make or break on this team, not from a will they be good standpoint. I think they'll be good. But Charlie, to your point, it's not about being good anymore. It's about how do you creep into that upper echelon, that A tier of teams that Houston's just seemingly been so challenged to get up to.
And the clock is ticking on C.J. Stroud being an amazing salary cap bargain for the Texans, right? You have two more years of it, and then the number takes a humongous leap. So end of the season, they're halfway through having the QB to build around at a phenomenally low figure. They are taking a big cap hit next year for Diggs, the way they restructured his contract. But overall, they should still have some wherewithal to make some moves. I think Chris Strausser probably is a goner in the offensive line. He's an easy fall guy / the right guy to be moved out. I think Slowick is safe. We talked about this a little bit before. Last season, how much of it him, how much of C.J. Stroud is having an historic rookie season, and who's was more attached to the other's coattails. But I think it's a good season for Slowick, followed by a bad season for Slowick. Best 2 out of 3 decides it for his fate next season.
Yeah, I think for me too, if anything, the Texans are predictable. They haven't beaten a good team on the road, and they came out today and couldn't do it. And I never really felt like they were in this ball game. Something's got to change. They got to try something different. They start so many drives with losses 1 or 2 yards on first down. If it's not a wide receiver screen that's getting blown up, it's Mixon. And some of it wasn't the offensive line. A few times Mixon decided to cut it up in today's game, and he made the wrong decision. If maybe he would have stayed the way the play was drawn up, he would have done better. But you can't blame him at this point. He's been doing that all year, trying to kind of make it on his own. And I think, too, we'll get to this in a second, Brandon. A lot of stuff on the defense today. Pretty sloppy play from them as well.
Yeah, the play I thought that was kind of emblematic of the game was the fact that you do have that great drive, that great throw by Stroud to find Dell. He gets injured, but you're in position to tie the game, and then Fairbairn goes up there and shanks a point after. I mean, goodness gracious. We've talked about this, and I know I had put him as my X factor in this game. I didn't realize it was going to be for that direction. And look, Josh, I guess you brought this up, so we should go that route. I mentioned how the Texans were lucky to have only given up 3 points off of the interception at the end of the half. CJ throws the pick, but then in one play, they did that in KC, deep in KC territory. In one play, KC's already in Houston territory and knocking on the door. They had one play where there was the out of bounds throw. They were lucky, did not give up a touchdown there. They still ended up giving 3, but ultimately surrendered 27 points in this game. Were positioned to surrender more, except for KC just wanted to let the air out of the ball. What did you guys see on defense today against KC?
I thought it was as nondescript a game that Will Anderson has had this season. Hunter at least got a couple pressures on. We do need to keep in mind, while the Texans have their shortcomings that we speak of and speak of again and speak of again, but they're not playing solitaire. Right? This is what the Chiefs do. The big play capability in their offense is largely gone. You know, the days of Tyreek Hill, when Travis Kelce was a big-time playmaker at tight end, now possession receiving a security blanket of quality, but not a big play guy anymore. In the running game, they don't have a real burner between Pacheco and Hunt, but they have Mahomes. And so they grind out these long drives. I don't remember the stats, but they posted them during the telecast. The most 10-plus play drives in this game. I mean, the Texans gave up not one big play downfield in the passing game. Busted coverage, the flare to Samaje Perine before the field goal at the end of the half, 36-yard play there. But they didn't get beaten deep downfield once in the passing game, yet they gave up touchdown drives of 80 and 82 yards. I just go with the Chiefs are a bit better than the Texans, and whatever the Texans didn't do well, the Chiefs were going to be able to do enough to make them pay for it. Whatever the issues were, whatever the Texans brought to the table, the Chiefs were going to figure out a way to bring a little bit more.
It was a lot of obvious stuff as I'm looking at my notes. Several third downs, there was nobody covering DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you're just like, what's going on? And then I noticed they moved Lassiter to play in the nickel once Jimmy Ward got hurt. And man, his speed was pretty noticeable to me against Hollywood Brown and against Worthy. I saw him a few times where it was pretty obvious, like, oh yeah, that guy runs a 4.2 and that guy runs a 4.6. And there was also one where Lassiter was caught kind of peeking in the backfield where he got burned for a touchdown there on Worthy. He also had some good plays in this game. So I don't want to kill Lassiter, and he had to, you know, he had to go in an emergency duty and change that. But Jeff Okuda, I'm not feeling good about that. And the Chiefs, they're banged up on the offensive line, but you couldn't really tell. And we have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. It's just that was really frustrating. I thought at least they would make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable throughout the day, but that just really didn't happen. And then, you know, CJ doing some stuff where he took a sack instead of just throwing the ball away there on the sideline. There was just, you know, in the delay of games we mentioned. So there was just, you know, CJ could have played better for sure, but there wasn't a lot of great stuff going on around him either. It was just we're not quite in that class, but this is also not as good as the Texans can play. They can play a lot better than this. They just weren't able to do it today. And man, this one's going to hurt because Shaq Mason, if he misses a bunch of time, and Jimmy Ward and Tank Dell, man, this is where those Saturday games when injuries pop up, where you really get kind of bitter, like, okay, NFL, you had to have your extra games. And now the Texans have to turn around and play again on Wednesday after all these injuries. So just really unfortunate. I feel bad for Tank, man. It's, you know, with the offseason and the shooting and with his injury last year and now this one, I just feel really bad for Tank. Another long road to recovery for him, unfortunately.
And to pretty much get wiped out by your own teammate. A guy promoted from the practice squad in Jarrett Wayne. So on the one hand, obviously a freak injury. On the other, reality that the Tank is so small, and so his bones are smaller. He's going to be more susceptible to these freak injuries, whether it's get caught in a blocking scheme inside and having a bone broken that way. This, you know, the way they carted him off, and you hope there's not any nerve damage or whatever. We'll just have to await the report on that. They're just shy of weaponry in the passing game. You know, it's Nico or nothing. Xavier Hutchinson did have one third down catch in a game. I mean, John Metchie doesn't even get on the field. Robert Woods just does not have speed. I would endorse Robert Woods always taking the touchback, by the way. I don't think he's ever likely to return it beyond the 30-yard line. So look, the Texans are pretty good, but that's where they are. They're pretty good. But man, I think the Chiefs are susceptible to getting beaten at home in the playoffs. All these close games, a better team has a good chance to get them, I think.
Yeah, going back to the Jeff Okuda, I keep thinking about that sideline pass to D-Hop where he just completely schooled him, just completely pulls up and sheds him. Like it was like a crossover dribble from a guard, just completely sheds him. And Josh, you also bring up a great point about Mahomes. He was pressured all day, but the key is the word that you said, uncomfortable. Yeah. He didn't look uncomfortable, and like he just like looks like a guy who's done it before, he's dealt with it before. And conversely, Stroud starting to look like he is pressuring, like he, especially in that first half where he was making those ill-advised throws, it looked like he came out with the intent of, I'm going to put this game on my back, I'm going to put this team on my back, and I'm going to force the issue because we need to score points. There's no way he can trust his line. There's no way he can trust the run game. And so I just felt like he tried to do too much in that first half. It's only year two for him, but how do you think Stroud responds to this in year three? Because now, you know, we've seen him look, flustered. We've seen him pressured. We've seen him get sacked so many times. Do you think, takes this and improves upon it for next year? Or do you think there's a chance that Stroud could go down that David Carr path of just getting, shell-shocked?
I mean, I think they need to make a change at OC, or they got to get him some more weapons, because you at least got to give him something to help him improve. And we're seeing it across the NFL, the Shanahan scheme, teams have kind of figured it out. And ever since the Vikings did what they did to the Texans, they've been seeing that all year long, and they don't really have any answers. You see the 49ers are down this year. I know they've had injuries, but that's part of the NFL. The Dolphins, it feels like the NFL's caught up to this a little bit. So that's why I would like to see a change at OC, but I just don't think it's going to happen. The other thing is you got to add some serious talent here. And it's unfortunate with that Diggs trade, you traded away a second round pick to rent him for a year. That could have been an opportunity to draft a receiver that could have been here to grow with CJ Stroud. You didn't have that. And then, Tank got taken out because a guy got elevated from the practice squad because Mechie couldn't get on the field. So they got to upgrade there. And I wonder too, everybody complains about the Chiefs getting all the calls from the refs. So I think we got to get into that a little bit. What did you guys think about the touchdown that was overturned, that they said was a fumble, then it was a pass? I thought it was interesting on that same play, like, Autry was being like bear hugged by another player, like from behind him, and they didn't call any penalty on that. And then after they overturned that call, you get the Jimmy Ward holding on third down. And then later in the game, you had the pass interference on Tank Dell, which was just like a phantom call where there was nothing going on there. It's unbelievable how this keeps falling, in the Chiefs' direction. The ball always bounces their way.
It was clearly arm forward. Whether there was intent to pass does not matter. We can all go all the way back to the tuck rule on that. And of course, Derek Barnett, not a vicious blow to the head, but even if on the field, hey, touchdown before and not overturned, well, the penalty was going to negate that anyway. The Ward call, the Dell call, I wonder if they almost misidentified it, because I didn't see anything remotely close to offensive pass interference on that. And just to hop back on C.J. Stroud, unlike David Carr, I don't think C.J. is getting pulverized. There is also a level of success achieved early on that David Carr never had, and they just never were able to get out of the toilet with David Carr, whereas at least C.J. Stroud, I mean, for their woes, this is a 9-6 football team going to the playoffs for the second consecutive season. But, you're in an awful division. So another one of those cute little AFC South title banners dropping at NRG Stadium next year. It's just not a big deal winning a week 4-team division. If they lose to Baltimore, beat Tennessee, they're 10-7. They better win that first round playoff game, or this season, I won't say a failure, but it's certainly not a success. If last year you went 10-7 and won a wild card round game, and this year you go 10-7. You don't win a wild card game. That is a step backwards, if not abject failure. And there's just no reason at this point to have much belief that this team would go win on the road in the division round. And as it stands, Kansas City is where they would go if they're the four seed and the top four seeds get there. I would give them more of a puncher's chance in Kansas City than I would at Buffalo.
I thought the incomplete was the right call. I also think Houston got away with illegal contact in the end zone on that first touchdown drive. You know, you mentioned the Barnett hit, you know, where it was just a tap to the helmet. I noticed that gets called, and I noticed Mixon gets, you know, two hip drop tackles that have cost him time this season, and those don't get called. I guess one's harder to call than the other. But I think it just goes down to, you know, when you don't hurt yourself, or when one team spends, you know, the afternoon, you know, putting themselves behind the eight ball with bad calls, bad plays, bad execution, and you're still close, but the difference is the little things. And sometimes it is those calls that don't go your way. Like you mentioned, the phantom call, the phantom holding calls. Final thoughts before we're out the door on this Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, for whatever calls anyone wants to complain about, and I know there is an undercurrent, well, the Chiefs are a story, and they want Taylor Swift on TV during the Super Bowl. Yes, if the NFL TV ratings for the Super Bowl ride on Taylor Swift's presence. But, you know, in boxing, the champion's often going to get the benefit of the doubt, so I think at times, and with Mahomes, there might be a little bit of that. But you know what? The Texans were within 8 points. Here are their last six offensive plays in the game. Sack, incompletion. Then after a delay of game, another incompletion. Mixon for minus one, incompletion, sack. That's the final story of the game offensively. Nothing to do with officiating. And by the way, Schultz threw McDuffie out of the way on the touchdown. So if we want to go back and go calls, you know, you can quibble here, quibble there. In the end, the better team won the game.
Yeah, no doubt there. I think part of it is with Bobby Slowick. Once again, Joe Mixon, one catch today. I mean, especially with Tank gone now and Nico's going to get a lot of double teams, throw Joe Mixon the ball. You saw several times that Samaje Perine had three catches for 50 yards for the Chiefs today. And they also threw the ball twice to Kareem Hunt and once to Pacheco. So I'm just like, Andy Reid runs a version of the West Coast offense that Bobby Slowick does. Throw the ball to the running back. Those were some of the biggest gains of the day. They had one where they just had their outside receivers, everybody running inside and all the Texans defenders running inside. And then the running back just ran right where all those defenders left, like on a little wheel route, right through the backfield, it, wide open. Nobody was within 15 yards of him. You have Joe Mixon, throw the ball to him.
I'm not advocating that it sticks, but for those really fed up with the offensive coordinator, the snarky nickname is obvious. Is it not Bobby Slowit?
I'll end it on that. Do us a favor and click like on the video if you want to see wholesale changes on the O-line. Subscribe to the channel. Click the bell for notifications. If you're an Astros fan, the three of us will be dropping a new episode of Stone Cold Stros over on our other channel, Sports Map Houston. So do us a favor and go check that out as well. The three of us will be back on Christmas for the live reaction to Texans Ravens. So come back and check us out for that. Make sure you're subscribed. Appreciate you watching and listening today. And as always, go Texans.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.